This is a business radio show where we talk about the craziness of small business. It's that craziness that actually makes it exciting, interesting, and totally unpredictable. This is Business Insanity Talk Radio with your host, Barry Maltz.
Well, thanks for joining this week's radio show. Remember, this is your final word in small business. For those keeping track, this is now show number 467, and this episode, of course, is provided by Nextiva, the answer to all your business communication solutions in the cloud. Well, if there is anything that can characterize a small business, is that it always seems like you're just on the brink of chaos. This is why I constantly talk about the need for process to guarantee success. My first guest is Susan Fenema. She's the Chaos Eradicating Officer, or CEO, of Beyond the Chaos, a consultancy helping small business owners gain control of their lives through better processes, organization, and structure of their business. Susan, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Barry.
So a lot of small business owners will say, I don't know, chaos, it's not so bad. I kind of like it.
Well, you know, they might say that, but then I think they also probably feel like they don't get their lives back, right? That they're working until the middle of the night and everything's frazzled all the time, and they don't have any time to actually work on their business because they're busy reacting to emergencies all the time.
See, a lot of time.
Process procedures.
No, go ahead.
That helps eliminate. Process and procedures will help you get a little bit of a handle on that and eliminate some of that chaos.
And I think more importantly, especially as you grow your company, while you may enjoy the chaos, guess what? Your employees really don't. They want processes and procedures, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, one of the main signs of a lack of structure in your company is high employee turnover. So if you want to grow, you need to show them and teach them how to repeat your successes through your process and your procedures and not make them guess. That's just a recipe for disaster.
And one of the problems I find with a lot of small business owners, Susan, is that they really don't know why they've been successful, so they really can't document those processes and procedures. Where can they look for help?
You know, that's a very good point. A lot of us small business owners succeed in spite of ourselves, sort of.
Right.
And so one of the ways to start to look at that is to think about what you're doing every day and what is a repeatable process that you're doing. What do you do constantly? You know, when you hire a person, do you have to figure out again what you have to do to onboard them? Okay, that's a big sign. Write it down, make a process, make a checklist, make a procedure, and then the next time you know what to do, you just go down the list.
Now,
if you're delegating things to people, if you want them to do something, that's another place. What do you want to take off your plate and have someone else do? Have you given them all the steps? Sometimes they can document that for you, right? But if not, you know, make sure that it's clear. So those are the types of things you want to be thinking about, is repeatable things.
We're talking with Susan Fenema. She is the Chaos Eradicating Officer at Beyond the Chaos. Susan, you've been talking about these terms called process, procedure, and policy. Are those the same thing, or are they somehow different?
They are a little different. So I'll start with policy, because that's really the one that's the most straightforward. It's the rules, right? If you're running your own company by yourself, you don't need a policy of how many holidays there are. But once you start having employees, you need to know when the holidays are. You need to know what the paydays are. You need to be very clear about when timesheets are submitted. So those are basically the rules of the company, not negotiable type things. Procedure is a checklist. Like when an airplane's trying to take off and the pilot goes down the same list every time, checks them off, make sure that all of those things are set. They don't even have to think about it. They do the same thing every time. That's a procedure. So a process is more of the steps to accomplish a task. Something like, how do you sell something to a new client? Or how do you make sure the client gets a bill? You know, what are the details on which application to use for what purpose? those types of things that are a little bit more written in prose would be the process.
So where does a small business owner start? Because there's a lot of folks who say, I got out of a big business because I didn't want all these process, procedures, and policies, but we know they're really important. What kinds of things should they have that are most important as they get more employees in their company?
Sure. So, you know, some basics. A sales process. How do you sell to a new client, you know, from the first contact with them through how do you invoice them? That's a good process for sure to have in place. How do you start a new project? If you're a project-based business, that's definitely one that needs to be written down. Interview and hiring. Unless you're doing all the interviewing and hiring as the business owner yourself, if you want someone else to help with that, that's a place to write down the steps, as is onboarding and offboarding employees. Now, if you don't have employees, some of those points you don't have to worry about. But if you don't, I would say minimally write down your own sales process so you can repeat that and give all of your customers that same touch and make it part of your brand. It's your sales process is part of making sure they're confident that you're going to be able to handle their work. So make it consistent.
It's interesting because in all of my companies, we started with an initial set of processes and procedures and policies. And then, of course, some employee would always figure out a way either to get around it or they would do some area where we didn't think we need to have a policy or procedure. So we'd actually bring that new policy or procedure in and we'd actually name it after that person that originally made us put that in.
That's a great plan. I love that. And you know, that's something that's important to note is that process is meant to evolve. It's not a rule. It's meant to grow. So as you learn something new, you want to add that to your process. As you get more employees, you might find that you needed to document something that you never thought of before. Or they might have a brilliant idea of how to change your process to improve things. Most of the time, those changes to process come out of complete disaster, like a complete failure. And you're like, oh, if only we had done this first. Well, write it down. Do it next time.
So,
you know, it's a great way to make sure it doesn't happen again.
So who should actually write these things down? Because, again, most small business owners would say, hey, we're too busy to write this stuff down. Do I bring someone in from the outside? Do I have teams do it? And then the teams talk to other teams?
Sure. So there are several ways of how to write the process. You know, if you're your own person and you're just writing them for you, you know, you can put them in Word and have it on your hard drive. But if you're sharing them with other people, it's important to have a place that they all know to go. And if you have a company wiki, that's a great place for it. If you have project management software, a lot of times there's a place for it there. Google Docs is another place. And then my last one that I'll put out there is printed handbooks or binders. I don't like those because they don't evolve that easily. But if that's easiest for you, it's better than nothing. How you get to write them, so that's how you can share them, right, with the team. But how you get to actually put them together can be challenging. If you're a systems-oriented person, you can probably write down the checklist yourself. If not, you might want an outside consultant like me to come in and ask you the right questions. Okay, what do you do next? Then what do you do? What if this happens? How do you respond to that? And you just step by step go through and put everything down and then ask somebody to repeat it based on what you wrote down. You'll be amazed at the number of questions you get back of things that you never thought of. So those are the best ways to write them and share them with your team.
And Susan, what happens when someone says, well, I don't believe in following procedures. I got my own way. It's better.
That's great. If you want to run a business by yourself that way, that's great. If you want to hire employees and grow your business, it's probably not going to succeed for you. Your employees want to know what to do, and they want to please you. And if it's all in your head, it's going to be very hard for them to say, oh, I know exactly what he or she wants, and I will make that happen for them. If you're being very clear about this is the success I want to repeat, and this is how I want to repeat it. Then you can grow your business and expand it. The other thing that these processes allow for is actual value in your business beyond just a client list. So down the road, when you get ready to sell your business, you don't just have a list of clients. You have a way of doing things that is also valuable to anybody who's looking to purchase your business.
I totally agree with that. That's why I've always said that people times process equals profit. Susan, thanks for being on the show. You can reach Susan at beyondthechaos.biz. Susan, thanks again.
Thanks for having me, Barry. I enjoyed it.
This is AM560 The Answer. We're going to be right back with more of how to get your small business unstuck here in 2018.
Can you get from here to there? We've got the answer from the Alarm Detection Systems Traffic Center.
I'm Kanika Lee, taking a look at traffic. On the Edens, it's 19 minutes both ways. The Kennedy is looking good inbound. It is 20 minutes from the airport. 8 in express lanes and 10 from Montrose. Outbound is 10 minutes from Montrose and 20 to the airport. Everything is looking good on Stevenson to and from for 55. On the Ike is 29 minutes to and from 390. Then Ryan to Bishop Ford at 57 Lakeshore Drive. That's all 15 minutes apiece. And on 8094 and I-65, everything is flowing freely. In the tollways, no problems there. But there is a problem in Lombard. There's a crash on North Avenue and Route 53. In the weather, it is 37 to fair, which is the high for today. And there will be a low of 26 degrees. That's traffic on AM560, The Answer.
Celebrate the new year with a change. Stamp your passport to paradise. Escape Chicago and join Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson in Riviera Maya, Mexico at the Secrets Maroma Beach, Riviera Cancun. It's an all-inclusive, all-suites, adults-only resort located in beautiful, sunny Riviera Maya, Mexico. Time is running out to book your trip through Apple Vacations. Don't get left out in the cold this year. Visit 560theanswer.com and search for the keyword passport. Presented by Joe Cotton Ford and Arlington Heights Heating and Cooling.
You've already upgraded your cell phone to a smart device, which lets you use the internet to be more productive on the go. But what about your desk phone? Nextiva is a smart business phone system in the cloud. With a simple setup through an internet connection, you can soon have access to your office communications wherever you are. Stay seamlessly connected with clients and stay more mobile than ever before for just one low monthly cost. Give your business more than just a basic desk phone. Visit Nextiva.com or call 800-799-0600 to learn more today. Nextiva. Simplifying your business communications. Get a copy of Barry's new book, BAM, where he shows how social media and our self-service world has rewritten all the rules of customer service. The best marketing now is BAM, good customer service. Be the first to tweet Barry at Barry Malt and get a free copy of the book.
Balance of Nature's Fruits and Veggies.
We are so thrilled with this product. He was literally getting up, laying on the couch, and falling asleep. He's so alert. It's amazing. Totally amazing. This is a great product. His sodium levels have been low for, I would say, maybe close to 20 years. He's normal now. And this is the first time. And I can't even thank you enough.
The last thing I want to do is stop taking this. I definitely have lots more energy.
Have the confidence that you're giving your body what it needs. Call now to receive 35% off your first Balance of Nature order. Call 1-800-246-8751. That's 1-800-246-8751. Or go online to balanceofnature.com. Use promo code Chicago.
Stick around and get your small business unstuck. More of Business Insanity Talk Radio with Barry Maltz. Now on AM 560, The Answer.
One of the biggest problems for entrepreneurs is how to fund their business. Should they use their own money? Should they ask family and friends for their money? Should they go to outside professional investors? Well, contrary to a lot of guests on my show, my next person thinks that bootstrapping is actually a trap. Jenny Kasten has been an attorney for social enterprises for 22 years, is a certified transformational coach, social entrepreneur, investor, and finance innovator. She's got a new book out. It's called Raise Capital on Your Own Terms, How to Fund Your Business Without Selling Your Soul. Jenny, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
I love the title of the book because so many times I felt that I had to fund my business and I had to sell my soul at the same time. Is it possible to do both?
Absolutely. You can fund your business without selling your soul. And what I mean by that is there are ways to fund your business that do not require you to give up any control or to do things in your business that aren't right for you.
And so how do you do that? Because one of the things that you say from the outstart is that bootstrapping, just trying to piece things together yourself, is really a bad trap for small business owners.
Yes, so many business owners decide not to go for outside funding for so many reasons. One, they don't really know what their options are. And if they have heard about businesses getting funding, they often hear horror stories about these businesses basically, you know, the funders become their boss. And the funders, the entrepreneurs lose control. They often get fired from their own business. And so many business owners just say, oh, that's not for me. I could never, you know, go through that. And besides, who would even fund my business? I hear a lot of people say that. But the good news is that there are so many people in this country that are investors and are looking for ways to diversify their portfolios. And if you offer them the opportunity to invest in your business, they may be incredibly interested.
So where do you start that process? Because I think most people don't know the kind of investors that might invest in their business.
Yes. Well, the first thing to do is really broaden what you think of when you think of an investor. Over half of the population of our country is made up of investors, and a lot of those people wouldn't call themselves investors, but they do have money invested, and they can be very frustrated with their options when it comes to where they can put their money. And so when you offer them the opportunity to invest in your business, they may be very excited. So what you want to do is think about who might be most excited to invest in your business. And often that could be your customers. It could be people in your community that just want to see you successful. It could be people that are passionate about the same things you are. And these are all people who do have money to invest, and they aren't professional investors, so they don't have preconceived ideas about what an investment needs to look like. They tend to have much more open minds, and they also don't want to take over control of your business.
So one of the points you're making is that you necessarily don't have to go to a professional investor, but more go to someone that has money to invest, and there is a big difference.
It's a huge difference. I actually just fell into raising money that way when I first got into fundraising for small business. It didn't even occur to me that you couldn't go after those investors. And so I've been helping entrepreneurs raise money from their communities using lots of different strategies for over 10 years. And I've even done it myself 3 times. And every time it ends up being really successful. And we set our terms. So we don't go to the investor and say, we need money, and have the investor tell us on what terms they're going to invest. We decide how we want them to come in and invest. And then we just go out and find people that are super supportive of what we're doing and want to be a part of it.
And Jenny, is that really the key to not losing control of your company with the investment?
Absolutely. So no matter what you offer to your investors, and you can get quite creative about how you structure the investment. So you can even offer equity without giving up any control. A lot of what you read on the internet implies that by offering some ownership in your company, you're automatically going to have to give up control. And that's not true. A lot of my clients have offered large amounts of equity in their companies, but it's non-voting equity. So you can absolutely stay in control. And you could also offer some kind of a debt offering. So it could look very different from a bank loan. Some people are scared of the idea of having their business be in debt. But when your lenders are people in your community that support you, they aren't going to ask you for a personal guarantee or for collateral or for, you know, if you miss a payment 2 days later, you're in default. So when I've raised money, using debt. And of course, you don't give up any control of debt.
So, Jenny, how do you know if the investor that you're talking to really is a good fit for your company? Because as we all know, is that if you get someone who is a bad fit, it could really wreck your small business.
Yeah, so the first thing to do is take some time to plan ahead. You know, don't just go out there and start talking to every single possible investor. Really think about who is a good fit. Someone who, you know, think about a profile of your ideal investor in the same way that you do with your ideal customer. Think about your ideal investor and start targeting those people. And you will be able to tell as you talk to someone whether they're a good fit. If they immediately get what your company is about and they get excited, they're probably going to be a good fit. The good news, though, is that even if it ends up not being the best fit, if they don't end up being the best person to have on board, it's really not such a bad thing because, again, you haven't given them any voting rights. So the worst that can happen is they may, you know, be a little disgruntled, but you're not giving them any control.
So in your experience, you know, talking with communities to raise money, what is behind a winning pitch where the investors say, sure, I'll invest in your company?
So I don't use the word pitch. I use the word conversation. I think the best way to find the right investors is to have a conversation with people and just see, you know, are they excited about what you're offering? And ask them a lot of questions. If you start to probe into what people's relationship is with their current investments, you might learn a lot of really interesting things about what their frustrations are. So, for example, most investors really want investments that are in alignment with their values. And so a lot of people get really frustrated by what their choices are. A lot of people don't want to put all their money into Wall Street because they know that a lot of the things that are happening with big multinational corporations may not be in alignment with their values. And also people, you know, would love to be able to put some of their money into their own community instead of shipping it off to be, you know, traded on Wall Street. So I think starting with a conversation and just really asking people, what are your goals with your investments? What do you wish you could do with your investments? It's going to give you so much information. And then you can talk about how what you're offering could meet that person's goals.
And what do you find besides it being aligned with their goals that these kind of investors really want out of making this kind of financial commitment?
You know, investors are so diverse. It's really hard to generalize. And you'd be surprised what people want. They aren't just looking for a financial return alone. There have been studies that show that when people make investments, they obviously want some kind of return on their investment, but they're looking for other things too. They want to feel good about where their money is going. They also like to be part of a community. If you can offer an investor not just the opportunity to, you know, participate in your financial success, but also be part of what you're doing, because if they're your customer or they're in your community or they're passionate about the same things you are, if you offer them the opportunity, for example, to come to an annual VIP event or, you know, have their name on a plaque in one of the booths at your restaurant or something like that, people love things like that. So don't assume that investors only care about making the highest possible financial return. There's tons of evidence that that's just one of many, many considerations. And everyone is different. So you have to really ask questions and find out what people care about.
Well, Jenny, thanks for being on the show. I think this is very important because I believe that a lot of folks go into business because they want to be their own boss. And then they get an investor that becomes their boss and they end up in exactly the same place.
Absolutely.
So where can people get a copy of your book, Raise Capital on Your Own Terms, How to Fund Your Business Without Selling Your Soul?
So you can find my book anywhere you buy books. And I do have some free downloads of chapters on my website at jennykassan.com.
That's JennyKassan.com. Jenny, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you.
Coming up, how do you retain talent in pretty much what is a full employment economy. This is AM5's The Answer. Be right back.
Larry Elder is frustrated with Congress.
All Republicans voted the same way. Therefore, they need to have 9 votes from you guys, from the Democrats. So how can you say the Republicans shut down the government? When all Republicans voted to keep the government open, they couldn't get 9 Democrats to agree. Is this thing on? This thing is on. When you don't need a single vote from the other side, that's when you're in control.
The Larry Elder Show, weeknights at 7, right before Jay Sekulow at 9 on AM 560. The Answer.
Fox News Radio, I'm Mike Cantor. President Trump preparing for the State of the Union address on Tuesday night, his immigration plan expected to be a key talking point, in addition to a range of other topics.
The president will discuss infrastructure, according to a senior administration official. The official also says the president will outline efforts to fight terrorism, discuss North Korea, and provide an emphasis on fair and reciprocal trade.
Fox's Rich Edson at the White House. Michigan's attorney general has named a special prosecutor to investigate Michigan State University. Bill Schuette's office is looking into how the university handled sexual abuse claims against sports doctor Larry Nassar.
No individual and no department at Michigan State University is off limits.
Dr. Nassar was sentenced to prison for sexually abusing more than 150 victims. The president and athletic director both resigned. Fox News, we report, you decide.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer. From the Alarm Detection Systems Traffic Center.
Good morning, Jeremy Scott with your look at the roadway. Still have a crash in Lombard at North Avenue, Route 53. Also in the loop, a crane lift closes Washington from Wacker to Franklin until the top of the hour. Inbound on the Edens, you're seeing the two right lanes close Elston to the junction. And then that continues on to the Kennedy, where the three right lanes are closed all the way down to Pulaski. Plus, the on-ramps from Montrose and Irving Park, as well as the off-ramp to Keeler, completely shut down for road work. No delays, though, on the Kennedy or really any of your expressways in spite of overnight road work. This update is sponsored by the DJ Martell Foundation. Join the T.J. Martell Foundation in the fight against leukemia, cancer, and AIDS. Your support helps facilitate cutting-edge research that will lead to more effective treatments and save more lives. Visit tjmartell.org to learn about music's promise or cure. Today, you get to see some sun, then rain, and snow likely later on in the day with temperatures in the mid-30s. Right now at O'Hare, it's 30 degrees, 32 midway, 37 at the lakefront. That's traffic on AM560, The Answer.
Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
With Barry's 25 years in small business, he has finally discovered the magic formula to make more profit at any company. Business gurus make it sound so complicated, but it's really simple. The formula is P times P equals P. P times P equals P, where people multiplied by process means more profit. Learn how you can take a quantum leap in just 180 days to grow the profit in your business. Contact Barry at barry@moltz.com. That's barry@moltz.com.
Are you stuck? Is this the year you finally grow your business and make more money? During Barry's many years of running his own company, he had to deal with the challenges of a business that just wasn't going anywhere. It was a painful realization. His business had flatlined, and he had no idea how to breathe new life into it. It was especially difficult for Barry since his customers were not getting the service he was so passionate about delivering. Second, he wasn't making any money. Finally, his business was sucking the life out of him. Do any of these sound familiar? Your sales won't budge in spite of your best efforts. You have few new leads for customers coming in and existing customers fading away. You're burned out and completely exhausted. It's no longer fun and your family suffers as well. If you're one of the millions of small business owners facing these problems every year, Barry has the answer. Check out BarryMoltz.com/unstuck to subscribe to his 6-part video series.
I have a great idea for the new year. If you haven't bought your MyPillow yet, get the buy one, get one free offer because it has been extended through January 31st. Remember, this deal is only available online using the promo code Amy. It is not available in stores, so I urge you to go online or call now and take advantage by using the promo code Amy. You'll get the absolute best deal available. My pillows absolutely help me get a great night's sleep by moving the fill. I get the support I need regardless if I sleep on my back or side, and I do not wake up with a stiff neck or headache. They're made in America, and you can wash them and dry them. They're hypoallergenic. Plus, you have a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. So get your buy one, get one free MyPillow by calling 800-489-0201. Use the promo code Amy or visit MyPillow.com. That's 800-489-0201, 800-489-0201, promo code Amy.
Now, back to Business Insanity Talk Radio. It's time to get your small business unstuck on AM 560. The Answer. Once again, here's Barry Maltz.
Well, 10 years, I can't believe it's been 10 years since the Great Recession. We are now pretty much in a full employment economy in the U.S. So now the biggest challenge for most small businesses is how do they retain the folks they have and not let them get lured away to other companies? Aaron Levy is the founder and CEO of Raise the Bar, a firm focused on helping companies address the problem of millennial turnover. Aaron, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me on, Barry.
So let's first talk about millennials. I mean, it's the old, you know, my father's generation. They used to go to work for someplace 50 years, get a watch, and retire. And in my generation, we didn't really want to leave a job. Maybe after 5 years, anything under 5 years, we're kind of looked on as skeptical. Now it seems like the popular narrative in our culture is that millennials will just go to any job anytime. First of all, is that true?
So I would say it's not true. They will jump jobs more quickly. They're ready to jump from job to job to job. And I wouldn't say just any job. There has to be something behind that job, whether it helps them grow a skill or develop a talent they want in their future career, whether it's something that's more purposeful or more meaningful work, whether they're just trying to get away from bad management or bad boss. They're not going to wait through it the 5, 10, 15 years. They might not even wait through it 6 months. I think the average tenure of a millennial is about 18 months. So it's the jumping is happening 3 times more than any other generation in the past. You're the third person that's mentioned a watch to me, and I don't even know what that is. I'm a millennial. I'm like, I get it conceptually. I guess you get a watch at a certain number of years in, but it's funny because that's not something that I even know about.
Yeah, you know,
millennials.
You know, the idea was that you've had so much service for this company, like for 25 or 50 years, I'm going to give you a special gift when you leave, and you get a gold watch. And it's kind of like, well, I put 50 years of my life in this business, and all you gave me was a gold watch. So that was the idea. But why don't millennials think that staying in a job more than 18 months is important and doesn't reflect badly on them?
So I think we jumped there. I don't necessarily think that they don't think it reflects badly on them, but there is bigger elements in play. So we can talk about millennials as a whole. Right? Millennials, I research why they leave their companies, and there's really 3 main reasons behind it. One is they want purpose behind the work that they're doing. 2 is they want to feel connected to their team, to their company, to their boss. And what you'll often hear that is they want recognition. But really, it's more than recognition. It's a level of connection. And 3, they want growth and development. So you have the perspective of millennials, which are distinctly different than the other generations based on how we grew up, the inciting incidents, as you said, the Great Recession. So when we were coming out of college, there were no jobs. Our parents, who had been working at the same job for years with pensions, potentially lost their pensions, potentially lost those retirements and those savings where they invested in the stock market. So it's just a different time that we grew up in. So there's that factor. There's also this factor of instant gratification. You got Amazon Prime. I ordered something today and it will be at my house this afternoon. And I can order my groceries. My wife and I get frustrated when we're watching TV and we're streaming Netflix, a movie, and it pauses.
Right, exactly.
Like, that's ridiculous. 10 years ago, you know, 15 years, we had dial-up.
It's amazing it works.
Get on the internet.
You know, remember when my son was growing up, you know, we used the service even before there was Amazon Prime where you get stuff delivered overnight. And he goes, I understand why I can't just download this toy over the internet. And I'm going, pretty soon you will be able to through a 3D printer.
And exactly. And so this, it's not just millennials. It's instant gratification is at an all-time high for everybody. And so you look even on social media, you get to see where your friends are traveling, what they're doing, what businesses they're starting or what companies they're working for. And so I want something. I want it now. I don't want to wait. I don't want to wait in line. That's something that we're all dealing with. We're all dealing with is if I see something I want to go get it now. And so that plays a role. I mean, it used to be you do well in high school so you can go to a good college. Then everybody knows you want to go to college, and a good college, so you can get a good job. And you get that job, and you work in it 15, 20 years. You put your head down, you work hard, you do the work, and you pick your head up 15, 20 years later, and you say, what the heck am I here for? What am I doing? What's this about? What's my purpose? And that was the midlife crisis.
Sure.
But you have this confluence of factors where you have millennials who are just a different generation with different ideals. You have this on-demand nature, this instant gratification we're looking for. And I didn't even mention kind of the changing world of work where we're moving to more creative, fluid type of work. So the way in which people work is going to change. It's no longer 9 to 5. And then you're hammered with, okay, it's no longer the midlife crisis. It's now the quarter life crisis.
That's right, exactly.
So people are seeing this, what am I doing? What's my purpose? Why am I here at 25,
absolutely,
at 28, at 32, instead of at 50?
Well, Aaron, I got to leave it there. Thanks for the insight into the millennial generation and hiring millennial workers. If you want to reach Aaron, you got to go to www.raisebar.co. This is AM 560, The Answer. We'll be right back.
How can you get from here to there? We've got the answer from the Alarm Detection Systems Traffic Center.
I'm Jeremy Scott with your look at the roadways. As you're traveling through Lombard, there's a crash at North Avenue and Route 83. Also in the loop, this is only going to be in place for about 15 minutes or so. A crane lift shuts down Washington from Wacker to Franklin until the top of the hour. Also, a couple of CTA buses are being rerouted as a result. Now, if you are traveling on the expressways, inbound on the Edens, the two right lanes are closed, Elston to Montrose until 8. Also, that closes on the Kennedy inbound, the three right lanes, all the way out to Pulaski in the locals until 8. You're also going to see closures from the on-ramps from Montrose and Irving Park, and the off-ramp to Keeler until 10, and the express lanes, those are actually wide open at this time. No other major issues on the expressways. A forecast for today, going to be nice to start off with, but going to move into some rain and snow with temperatures in the mid-30s. 30 at O'Hare, 32 Midway, 37 at the Lake. That's traffic on AM 560, The Answer.
Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
With Barry's 25 years in small business, he has finally discovered the magic formula to make more profit at any company. Business gurus make it sound so complicated, but it's really simple. The formula is P times P equals P. P times P equals P, where people multiplied by process means more profit. Learn how you can take a quantum leap in just 180 days to grow the profit in your business. Contact Barry at barry@moltz.com. That's barry@moltz.com.
Are you stuck? Is this the year you finally grow your business and make more money? During Barry's many years of running his own company, he had to deal with the challenges of a business that just wasn't going anywhere. It was a painful realization. His business had flatlined, and he had no idea how to breathe new life into it. It was especially difficult for Barry since his customers were not getting the service he was so passionate about delivering. Second, he wasn't making any money. Finally, his business was sucking the life out of him. Do any of these sound familiar? Your sales won't budge in spite of your best efforts. You have few new leads for customers coming in and existing customers fading away. You're burned out and completely exhausted. It's no longer fun, and your family suffers as well. If you're one of the millions of small business owners facing these problems every year, Barry has the answer. Check out BarryMoltz.com/unstuck to subscribe to his 6-part video series.
Stick around and get your small business unstuck. More of Business Insanity Talk Radio with Barry Moltz. Now on AM 560, The Answer.
Well, a lot of my fellow angel investors want to invest in companies, but also want to make a social impact. My next guest thinks you can do both. Morgan Simon is the author of Real Impact, The New Economics of Social Change. She's a widely recognized leader in impact investment who builds bridges between finance and social justice. It's hard to build those bridges. Morgan, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Barry.
So tell me what really the definition these days are of social justice, because for me, it's harder and harder to figure out what it is, especially with all the partisan politics going on.
Sure. I think that social justice, and particularly the idea of justice, right, is the idea that as human beings that we all have the very American concept of inalienable rights. And that's connected to responsibilities that we have to each other to ensure those rights. And that may include housing, food, education, and choice, freedom in so many different ways that we want to live and move in the world. And it's very difficult to do that when you don't have economic access, when you don't have safe communities, when you don't have food on the table. So I think a lot of what we're working for is really based in economic justice, and then the way that can translate into so many other spaces, such as environmental justice.
I think a lot of people have a hard time seeing the link between financial investment and social justice, because they think that, well, financial investment is about making money. Social justice is about making people's lives better, and they can't see that connection.
Sure. So part of it is thinking about making money for whom, right? So recently there was an expose in the Boston Globe that the average white family's net worth was over $200,000, whereas the average black family had $8 net worth, right? So part of it is, how do we make sure to create more economic opportunity for populations that have been historically excluded, and knowing that access to finance and investing is a big piece of that. So one of the things that we think about as impact investors is not just the type of business, you know, what the business is trying to do from a social environmental perspective, but also who is getting access to capital, and how do we really build more bridges for a much more diverse population to get access to funding.
So why, Morgan, do you think that's impossible? Because a lot of the narrative you'll hear, especially from the right side of the political equation, is, well, you know, the reason that family only has $8 in savings or net worth is because they don't work hard. Right. And so what do you say to that when folks come up with those kind of explanations?
I would ask those folks, who is taking care of their children, cooking in their kitchens, gardening, right? That who are the people who have been working 12 hours a day or more, you know, and I think that connects a lot to questions around immigration as well, and what people regard as work. And I want to be clear that it's not, I don't mean to imply at all that communities of color just do manual labor.
Right.
But I think that a lot of work is often hidden from view, and that it's just false to say that populations don't work. And I think the other is to recognize the historic inequity. When I think about, you know, having access to a college education without 100K in loans coming out of that, and the way that sets me up for a very different financial future than someone who comes from that family with the $8 net worth, who may love them just as much, work just as hard, but not have as much access to capital and education.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's an inherent advantage, especially in America, really, of being white. At Thanksgiving time, at our family, we go around the whole table saying what we're thankful for. And one of my wife's friends says, well, I'm thankful because I'm white. And that was really a very, very true statement, because we have advantages that other people of color actually don't have. They start in a very different place.
That's absolutely true. And I think that there is an opportunity to really level the playing field. But beyond that, I want to note that investing in diverse populations is not about an idea of affirmative action or investing because you feel some sort of pity. I actually would say that it's because there's so much innovation in communities of color, and particularly when we think about becoming a majority-minority nation, that investors who are not proactively looking at investing in diverse communities are going to get left behind, right? So I think there's an incredible depth of opportunity there, and that goes back to the idea of being able to make social change while also making money, and that creates the opportunity for people who may have just engaged philanthropically in the past to really think about how they can activate all of their assets. So when we talk about social investing, and not just for the millionaires, right, it's also about where you bank, it's about where your retirement funds are, it's the opportunity to say that the legacy I want to leave for my children is not just about how much money I gave away or what I built, it's the did I invest in a brighter future for my grandkids as well.
So real quickly, with a minute and a half we have left, give us a quick example of one of your products that worked out really well. And then perhaps one that kind of went awry because not all good intentions actually work out.
Sure. I'm thinking about there's just so many companies that we've supported that have been doing wonderful things in the world. And I think you start to see the way that markets are really rewarding companies, right, mm-hmm. that are doing well. So there's companies like Lyft. If you've seen between Lyft and Uber over the past 6 months or so, how you had 300,000 users abandon Uber based on some of its connection with the Trump administration and then also some of the terrible comments that have been made around women and people of color in the company that kind of led people into the arms of Lyft, a company that has really taken a much stronger statement around workers' rights and thinking through some of the implications of the transitions to the gig economy. So I think the companies that we tend to be most proud of are making that balance between how do I serve my community in a way that's also going to lead me to be more profitable.
Morgan, I got to leave it there. If you want to read Morgan, go to www.morgansimon.com. The title of the book is called Real Impact, The New Economics of Social Change. Morgan, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you so much.
You've already upgraded your cell phone to a smart device, which lets you use the internet to be more productive on the go. But what about your desk phone? Nextiva is a smart business phone system in the cloud. With a simple setup through an internet connection, you can soon have access to your office communications wherever you are. Stay seamlessly connected with clients and stay more mobile than ever before for just one low monthly cost. Give your business more than just a basic desk phone. Visit Nextiva.com or call 800-799-0600 to learn more today. Nextiva, simplifying your business communications. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
If you're a small business, first impressions can make all the difference. With Grasshopper, you get all the features of a professional business phone system on your mobile phone. Choose a business phone number, make calls, and send texts. Stay connected and work from anywhere with features like Wi-Fi calling and our desktop app. Set up your account in minutes with no long-term contracts and 24/7 customer support. Make your small business big. Now get $20 off your first month when you visit grasshopper.com/radio. That's grasshopper.com/radio.
In winter, you can practically hear your skin changing. Drying out, flaking, tightening, becoming itchy, irritated, and inflamed. You need the fast relief of Cortisone 10 Intensive Healing Anti-Itch Cream. Unlike regular lotions, Cortisone 10 relieves itch and irritation with 1% hydrocortisone, the strongest non-prescription itch medicine, plus 7 healing moisturizers. With Cortisone 10, winter can just sound fun again. Cortisone 10. Feel the heal. Use as directed.
Now, back to Business Insanity Talk Radio. It's time to get your small business unstuck on AM 560. The Answer. Once again, here's Barry Moltz.
You know, you and I are very much alike. During the many years of running my own company, I didn't deal with the challenges of a business that just wasn't quite going anywhere. For me, it was the moment of truth, and it was a painful realization. My business had flatlined, and I had no idea how to breathe new life into it. Does this sound familiar? It's especially difficult for me, since many of my customers were not getting the service I was so passionate about delivering. Second, I wasn't making any money. Finally, my stuck business was literally sucking the life and the money out of me. This was not exactly the way I thought it would be after reading all those books on having my own company. Well, don't worry. This is normal. Well, sort of, because during the life cycle of every small business, gets stuck from time to time. Do any of these sound familiar? Your sales won't budge in spite of your best efforts. It doesn't get much more frustrating than this. You have few leads for new customers coming in, and the customers you do have continue to phase. You're burned out, and you're completely exhausted. It's no longer fun, and your family suffers as well. You'll want to get off that roller coaster. I know what it's like to ride the entrepreneurial roller coaster. I'm here to tell you that it doesn't have to be this way. I've had my ups and downs, and I finally cracked the code at getting unstuck and moving any business forward. Over the years, I've worked with hundreds of corporate and small business clients to help identify the sticking points in their systems so they can take their business to the next level. Throughout decades of running my own businesses, I've identified six major areas where almost every business inevitably gets stuck. This is your year to get unstuck. As you journey through the Breakthrough Training Series, I'm going to show you a fast, easy, and permanent solution to get unstuck. Each of my modules includes a PowerPoint presentation, a video recording of me presenting these materials live, a downloadable lesson notes, and downloadable homework assignments. The MP3 recordings of selected interviews from some of the best-known world leaders on this radio show is also included for free. Whether you learn best from watching, listening, or reading there's a format for you. I've made it very easy for you to absorb the material and develop a clear plan of action for moving forward. So there are six modules, which I guarantee that you'll improve your sales if you utilize this system. Module one is finding new customers and growing the ones you have. Module two is finding money to manage your business because it's already there. Module three is building a team that actually lasts. Module four is to realize that customer service is now the new marketing. Module five is breaking your social media addiction. And module six is the real trick to boosting your productivity. So right now, go to www.barrymoltz.com/unstuck. Use the value code 50 off WIND and get 50% off the price of $97. You'll learn the exact step you need today to move your business to the next level. I guarantee it. Well, I want to thank everyone for joining this week's radio show. I also want to thank our sponsors, Staples, Nextiva. I also want to thank our tremendous staff, especially our booking producer, Sarah Schaffern, our in-studio producer, Debbie Schreiner, our marketing manager, Courtney Dury. If you're serious about being more successful this year, then you got to give me a call. And I'm going to give you my private number. Get a pen, write this down. 773-837-8250 or email me at barry@moltz.com. Isn't this the year that you move your business ahead? Isn't this the year that you finally make the money that you know you deserve? Remember, love everyone, trust a few, and paddle your own canoe. Have a profitable and passionate week.
You can find Barry on the web at barrymoltz.com. You've been listening to Business Insanity Talk Radio.
So why wait until Monday to start saving up?